I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll never know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
How do you like my Louis Armstrong? How many of you really think it's a wonderful world? I mean, most of the time. I mean, where you realize that, you know, God in his incredible power made a wonderful place for you and me. A creation. I wonder how many of us, though, miss that at times. Because we see the brokenness of the world. We see, in a sense, the disparity of the world. We see the pain of the world. You know, God wants us to see the wonder of the world. He wants us to see the wonderful world. But how many of us miss that? You know, you don't learn how to see the wonderful world just automatically, I don't believe. I think you have to be almost taught that you have to look through different eyes, you know, have eyes to see, ears to hear, experience to know that it really is good. Even when it seems like it's breaking apart, that somehow in the midst of that breaking apart, God is making something new. It's a wonderful world. Do you realize that? Have you been taught that? Do you know how to learn that more and more? Do you know how to remind yourself that it truly is a wonderful world? Even in the most desperate, difficult times. That God is alive and well, that he's a good God, a loving God, that God that never gives up on you. You know, as I looked at the scriptures for today, it's really quite interesting because the gospel that we have today is, of course, one of many in the Gospel of John. We always get them during Easter season. And it's part of the I Am Gospels in John. I don't know whether you know what the I Am Gospels are not, but the I Am Gospels are really fun. I mean, last week you had I Am the Good Shepherd. You can get I Am the Door. You can get I Am the True Vine. And why is that so important? Because the truth of the matter is that they are I Am statements. Why is I Am important? Well, you know the story of Moses. What happens? He's out in the desert. He sees the burning bush. He goes up to the bush, and all of a sudden the voice of God comes through and says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of your fathers. And all of a sudden, Moses says, well, what do I call you if they ask me your name? And what does he say? I am. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, he's basically saying, the Father and I are one. I am. And John repeats that over and over again. This scripture to me is so powerful because I think it really teaches us what we need to do so that we can see the wonderful world, so we can see God's hand at work in the world about us, that we can see him even in the darkest of all times. The scripture begins by telling us that, you know, Jesus is the vine and the Father is the vine dresser, and that we are branches. Now, how do you do it? How does that work? What does it mean to be a branch? It means that if you are a branch in the vine, that you produce fruit. You know, most people get worried about that. They think, oh my God, does that mean I have to go on the mission field? Am I ending up, do I have to buy a ticket to Africa or something? You know, but it's not about the things you get done, the accomplishments you have. The fruits that he's saying that you have to produce are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, kindness. The things that happen inside of you, not things that happen out there. If you produce the fruits of the Spirit, those things out there, they'll happen. But even if you do some of those things out there, if you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, really, you've done them on your own. You haven't been led by the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are so powerful that the things that make you alive, that give you the vision to see God's hand at work, the vision, the hearing that gives you the ability to know that God's here with you. It's the ability of experiencing God in every setting, no matter how difficult it gets. Do you have that? Do you have that ability to see God even when it's really tough to see Him? Do you have a faith that says, it may be falling apart, but oh my gosh, you know, something must be happening because He's at work. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to abandon me. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be anxious. You see, when you have the fruits of the Spirit that are developed because you are a branch and you're in the vine, all of a sudden the way you look at the world changes at every step. All of a sudden, the way things happen in the world, you say, there must be something behind this. The second thing that you've got to realize that the Scripture teaches is this, is that if you are a branch and you are producing fruit, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get cut. You're going to get pruned. It means that truly He's going to allow things to happen to you in your life that may seem painful, that may seem like suffering, but inside that suffering, inside those losses, when you have the ability by faith to look beyond that, all of a sudden you realize that time doesn't end between birth and death, that time continues into all eternity, and that you're already experiencing eternity. When you allow yourself to be pruned and you look at those events in your life that are painful as pruning rather than just something that was made wrong by somebody else's decision or maybe by your own decision, what happens? You realize there's purpose in it. And sometimes when it's in the middle of things, no matter how painful it is, when you realize there's purpose in it, that gives you the ability to always have hope. And that hope gives you the ability to have love, and that love gives you the ability to have faith. You see, I don't believe that things are always falling apart. I believe that God is always remaking things. And sometimes He allows things to fall apart so that, to tell you the truth, He can raise that section and start something new. That the God that we have loves us and wants us to be with Him. The third thing that I think this teaches more than anything else is that we've got to abide in Him. To abide in Him. What does it mean to abide in Him? It means to trust in Him. To really trust Him, to be cemented into Him. When we are that connected to Him, we have to look at things differently. Because we know our lifeblood comes from being tied to that vine. That we know that the joy that we can receive, the fruits that are produced, the patience that sometimes we all struggle with. Well, it's not something that we did ourselves by God. It's something that God did through us by Jim. That somehow He worked through us. That God wants us to be blessed in the worst of our times, in the worst of our decisions. He always wants us to be blessed. You know, when I thought about that, I remembered an old story. It's a story about actually a really incredible preacher. I mean, he was just a fantastic preacher. Had a very large church, and he just loved to preach. He was skilled at it. He was gifted in it. And this guy could just really, you know, talk to the people's hearts. But one of the other things he loved to do besides his ministry and his preaching was he loved to play golf. He was just avid about it. He loved to play golf. And one Sunday morning he woke up. It was a morning like this. The sky, not a cloud in it. The sun was shining through. It was just a magnificent day. It was, everything was right. The temperature was just right. And he thought to himself, I really want to play golf today. I don't want to go to Sunday services and preach. I don't want to do that today. I want to go play golf. I love to play golf, and it's so perfect today. Why does it have to be a perfect day on Sunday? And all of a sudden, he decided what he would do is he'd call up an assistant of his and say, look, I can't come to church today. I need to rent a priest. Please send somebody in. You know, I'm sick. I can't come today. And he called up and he got the assistant all set up to fill in for him. At that point, what did he have to do? To go play golf? He had to drive 3 hours to get to a golf course that nobody knew him at. And he drove all the way there. He got all set to start playing golf. He's walking up to the course. All of a sudden in heaven, Gabriel and the Lord are talking to each other. And Gabriel looks down and he sees the preacher who should be in church, but he's on the golf course. And Gabriel's irritated. And he looks at the Lord and he said, "Look at what that preacher did. He should be in church today, but he's out playing golf. Don't you think he should be punished?" And the Lord said, "Well, he probably should be punished." And he goes, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And the Lord said, "I'll do something about it." So the preacher gets up to the first tee, and he tees it up. And all of a sudden, he just hits it. It's a perfect drive. 350 yards. Goes right to the green. It takes one bounce, and boom, it's in the tin cup. At that point, Gabriel looks at the Lord and said, "I thought you were going to punish him. I thought you were going to get this right. I thought you were going to do this." And the Lord looked down and he said, "Well, yeah, that's right. I am punishing him. Who can he tell?" You see, the Lord wants to bless you in the midst of everything. He wants to be there for you in everything. And somehow in his mysterious way, so often when you abide in him, he gets the message through to you in the most peculiar and odd ways. You see, God is good. It is a wonderful world. But you miss it if you get hung up on all the other stuff. You miss it when all those fears and anxieties and worries creep into your brain. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Where you perseverate on that one thing that's not going right and you just can't get rid of it. And it's almost like it's just growing in your brain and it's going crazy. And all of a sudden you just say, "Well, how am I going to get rid of this?" And you can't seem to get rid of it. Somehow you got to get control over it and you can't get control over it. And that's when God says to you, "Be at peace. But go serve." Because if you go serve, all of a sudden, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about that other person. And then you're abiding in his love. You're abiding in him as the vine. All of a sudden, then you're connected to him. And the fruits of the Spirit begin to grow. And peace actually can grow when you get your mind off yourself. But so often, to tell you the truth, I think that we think that our branches just grow into ourselves. It really is a wonderful world. How often do we miss it, though? You know, this song, I believe more than anything else, teaches us just as the scripture says. And it teaches us this: take one day at a time. Trust. Do the next right thing. Meet life on life's terms. Know that God is at work in the midst of everything. And know this, as Louis Armstrong sang, he said this: "I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll never know." God is at work. You still have a lot to learn, and so do I. But we're going to miss it if we let our own brains take over and not trust the Spirit. We will miss it if we don't become fruitful by producing those qualities within us that God freely gives to us as gifts of the Spirit and as fruits of the Spirit. We will miss it if we don't see God's hand at work in the world about us. We're here this day to celebrate God's hand at work in the world about us. Will you look for his hand? And will you forget to look for the things that are broken and look for the things that are whole? The things that are solutions, not the things that are problems. The things that drive us to fear and move toward looking for the things that give us faith. It is a wonderful world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand with